You're listening to the Transform Your Nutrition Podcast with your hosts, Rebecca Heald and Jeff Ash. Our purpose is to help individuals and families transform their relationships with food and develop healthy bodies, minds, and attitudes, all without restriction, guilt, or shame. Well, hey, we are back here for another episode. It's good to talk to you again.
Yes, and you. It's halfway through January. It's the 15th of January today.
Where's I know. Yep. It just seems like just time. It's amazing how time just continues to pass, doesn't it?
I know. Who'd have thought?
Yeah. So how has your week been so far?
Yeah. Good. Busy. We're still in lockdown here in the UK. But yeah, things seem to be slowly improving in terms of the rates of infection and stuff, which is good.
Yeah.
Just another normal busy week. What about you?
It's the opposite here. It's definitely going, the numbers I think are going up here in Texas. And so, but you had a really interesting week this week with your webinar.
Yes, of course. Gosh,
yeah, how did that go?
Yeah, no, it went really good, actually. Feedback's been amazing. Some of the comments that have been, there was one lady that was saying how she struggled with a relationship with food for as long as she can remember. Mm-hmm. And she sent me a message during the week saying, I've applied what you said on your slide. She says, I applied it and it makes sense. And uh-huh. There's a couple of people that have said that. So yeah, really, really, really enjoyed them. And definitely people are implementing some of the change and seeing how it, because sometimes you talk about it in a presentation until they actually go and practice it in their everyday life. They don't see how it works. So yeah, really good. Really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And in fact, I am going to be, which I've only just officially set the date today, I'm going to be running a free webinar on the 9th of February to let people know a little bit more about what I do. And then I'm going to be running some more. I'm going to be running these workshops again because they've been so positive that, you know, why not? The material and the content's there. So yeah.
Yeah. Brilliant. Well, that says a lot about the content by the fact that people literally within a few days of attending are saying they've already started applying some of these things and feeling better about it. And so I think that speaks very highly of that information that you're sharing in those workshops. And so that's really exciting to see that. It's always great when you're able to share just really practical kinds of things. You don't have to go through all these hoops or jump through this or cut out this food or add this one that you don't particularly like or work out 6 days a week or all of these things, but you can start to see some real changes just by applying some of these simple concepts. So
yeah, it's really great because there's one lady who's come back to me actually, and I think she's interested in working with me, which is amazing, because she was talking about how as well, which hopefully we'll get onto a little bit about how she's wanting to work with me to help improve the relationship, her children's relationship with food as well, because she's noticing the knock-on effect.
Yeah.
So that was really good. So.
Yeah. Well, that's really exciting. So I think that leads well into what we're going to be talking about today on this episode. So we were talking about some different things that we've seen in either our kids, ourselves, people that we've worked with. And there's this tendency to have kind of a knee-jerk reaction when things are not going the way that we think they should be, or when we see something suddenly change and we say, oh, I have to attack that immediately because I need to make sure, you know, either head it off early or I don't want it to get out of control, or I'm not seeing the results that I want. And so we immediately react to the lack of change on the scale or a behavior, and we often react in a way that's not consistent with the plan that we have set up for ourselves. And we see this a lot when somebody says that, you know, they jump on the scale and the scale didn't change in 1 week or even 2 weeks, even 3 weeks, or it went up and the reaction is, oh my gosh, I know I've been trying to be more just mindful of what I'm eating and more habit-based, but I didn't see the changes that I wanted, so I'm going to go back to this restricted mindset. And so we see that a lot. So so that's what we thought we would talk about today was considering and avoiding these knee-jerk reactions.
Yeah. And I think a really important thing to point out there as well is this this idea. And I think this is the problem a lot of the time in the industry. It's kind of, it's bandied about that you can micromanage your weight, that you've got this control over your weight that really you don't have, you know, and I think it's really important that people understand that and understand that you can't, you know, affect it on a day-to-day basis as well as you think you would, you could, as well as you think you can. And that ultimately it comes down to consistency, doesn't it?
Yeah. And it really varies from person to person. Some people, because you'll have your friend who is, they jump on a diet or they jump on some new pattern of eating and their weight almost goes down in a linear fashion, like, you know, 1.5 to 2 pounds a week, and it just goes and it never varies. And it's maybe 1 week they didn't lose, but in general, it just like makes this nice little trend down. And you think, well, if theirs is doing that, then mine should do the same thing. When in reality, the person who sees that kind of a trend is actually an outlier. That's not how most people go when they're losing weight. You know, it's usually this like crazy looking like the stock market charts that you see where the up and down, and that's normal.
Yeah, it is. It's as with anything, not just with your weight, as with any progress. You know, when you talk about going through the stages psychologically of change as well. Obviously, there are various stages you go through in terms of your mental state when it comes to change. But even that is not linear. You know, it jumps through stages compared, you know, in relation to what's going on in life, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But just to go back to what you said then there as well about outliers who potentially do follow this downwards trend. I think, yeah, there is that thing of, you know, everybody is different, which I think we have to bear in mind. But I also think as well, it all comes down to starting points, doesn't it? So if somebody does have, you know, if somebody is way above their set point, you know, and has a lot of fat to lose, then it's going to go that way, especially, you know, it might go that way for quite a long time to begin with.
Right.
But, you know, for how long will that happen once they get to kind of where they're supposed to be, if that makes sense, or closer to where they're supposed to be. Does that make sense? I think that's also, I think my point here is everybody has a different starting point. And everybody also, like you said about outliers as well, there are different people that have different genetic predispositions as well, which is worth, which is always part of the process as well.
Right. Well, and that's where we often react kind of hastily when our weight's been going down for a while or we're getting stronger for a while. This is, you know, another example, somebody who's really focusing on building strength, building muscle, those kinds of things. We see it with everybody. You're making this progress and you're making it. It's just going smoothly. It just seems like it's picking up steam. And then all of a sudden you hit a plateau or you go the opposite direction or something happens. And then what do? You immediately respond by wanting to change up everything. And so you see it with people hopping from one training program to another, where instead of just sort of making a little tweak here or an adjustment or just waiting it out, because often it's just a matter of, you know what, your body is doing something different now. Just give it a chance. It'll catch back up. And we see this a lot in that panic mode that people go into. And I was, you know, I was talking to somebody this week who has started, is just in the beginning stages. They started making some changes. The changes they're making are wonderful. Their mindset's good. They're enjoying the food that they continue to eat and enjoyed it. The food choices they're making are great. They're still eating what they like. They're sharing, their child is eating the same food that they're eating. And so she's doing everything right. But the scale didn't change. So the immediate response was, I think I need to be more aggressive with cutting out some food, even though that was the exact opposite of why they came to work with me. And so,
yeah, it's really interesting. I've had a couple of scenarios this week, really, similar kind of thing. Somebody I've been talking to today who has literally, you know, has really, really changed, you know, has made some real positive changes in terms of his diet, you know, really are cooking from fresh a lot more, eating more vegetables. And, you know, he was eating takeaways two or three times a week and he hasn't had one at all for the last few weeks, you know, walking more, getting out and stuff. But because he didn't see anything, any scale change this week, mm-hmm. he's like, I need to be more aggressive. I need to do it. And I'm like, just how are you? So I said to him, how are you feeling? He said, oh, I feel good. I feel loads better. I said, so this is why you need to not get hung up and stressed about what the scales are saying right now. Trust the process. Be consistent. You know, he's always telling me to do the same when it comes to my business. Trust the process, be consistent. Yeah. It's the same when it comes to when we're making lifestyle choices and changes, that, you know, we should be focusing on those. We should be focusing on the positive things that we are doing rather than mm-hmm. focusing too much on what the scale's saying. Because all that will happen is that you could end up, and this is why we set ourselves up for failure very often, is because these diets will promise you you're going to lose X amount of weight in X amount of time. And then when you don't do that, because nobody can tell you what's going to, you know, nobody can predict what your body is going to do, in all honesty. So when that doesn't happen, you then think, I'm doing something wrong, stuff this, I'm going to go back to my old habits because I'm not achieving what I want to achieve. Yeah. Rather than thinking, actually, I feel better. I'm supporting my health better. I'm going to have more energy. You know, I'm going to save a fortune on takeaways. Mm-hmm. You know, focus on all of those things rather than focusing on constantly trying to manipulate the scales, because it's just, you know, and as well, look at trends over time. Mm-hmm. Okay. You might not have lost weight this week. You might have even put a pound on this week, but what's happening over the course of a month? What's happening over the course of 2 months? And how are you feeling fundamentally? Mm-hmm. And I mean, I have got another client who I've been working with for quite a long time. And she said to me we chatted yesterday. And she said, oh, well, you know, things have been a bit hit and miss. I feel like some of the old habits are slipping back in. I was like, okay, let's unpick this a bit. And then all of, you know, just the way she was talking, and she could hear it as she was talking, mm-hmm. diet mindset was still there. It was mm-hmm. still, you know, I feel like I haven't lost, you know, okay, I didn't gain any weight over Christmas, but my weight's still not, you know, not moving. And then I'm thinking to myself, well, does it really matter? Because I'm not getting in a bikini yet, you know, because I'm not going on holiday anytime soon. So again, it's all this, you know, that's all diet talk, isn't it? It's all, I've got to have this goal to reach. I've got to be a certain body weight, or it's not working for me right now. Rather than actually taking a step back and thinking, okay, why is this happening to me right now? Why am I feeling that I am grazing again in the evenings? Well, there was two really key things that stood out. And one was the diet mindset. One was the fact that she was restricting herself again. She wasn't allowing herself things in the house that she enjoyed. So then she found she was grazing on other things and it wasn't giving her the same satisfaction, which meant she was overeating mm-hmm. more than she would have done if she just allowed herself to have that chocolate bar that she really wanted. And then there was this issue of self-care. She's not, you know, right now, and this is so important, and I spoke about this morning on my live, right now, you know, no matter how much you're putting on the front, no matter how much you are getting on with things, there is going to be, there's an underlying uncertainty for all of us right now.
Yeah.
You know, you cannot deny it. Whether or not you think you may be very resilient and you may be getting through, you know, and I like to think I am, to be honest, but I still know that there are some days when I wake up in the morning and I get that sinking feeling, because underlying, I still don't know what the future holds. I don't know when we're going to be able to go out again. I don't know what's going to happen to my business, blah, 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 you know. And as much as I'm getting on, it's there. And when you've got that extra added anxiety and pressure, you need more self-care than ever, okay? Because your body needs to kind of digest that and repair itself. So I'm going off on a tangent a little bit here, but then, you know, sometimes some of the old habits that might be creeping back in might be because your body's asking you for something. Your body's saying, craving a little bit more self-care, craving a little bit more attention, maybe craving a little bit more fresh air.
Yeah.
And, you know, your body's telling you something, but if you're then still thinking, I need to manage and control my weight, all you're going to be thinking is my body wants chocolate or crisps.
Yeah.
Those
are some great points. And I think that kind of highlights a lot of what happens when we just react to, lack of change in the scale, or a change in the scale, or a change in another area, whatever it is, when we just react to it and go back to our old habits, our old ways of thinking, then we sort of undo all of this work of trying to really change the mindset and changing our habits. So, you know, you you find this with whether there's a change in our own life or in our kids. We sometimes will see it like we just talked about here, where the scale doesn't change. So we immediately want to just change up our whole diet again or go really aggressive. Same with our kids.
Oh, I want to change it all up because it's not working. Mm-hmm. Or there is also, and I call, we all have inner food voices. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And very often we have like ally voices and destructive voices. Yeah. Okay. It's, and I think one of the things that often can happen is that you have a rebel, a diet rebel. So if things aren't going, you know, if it's things aren't happening as fast mm-hmm. as you want, there is that, okay, we're going to go more aggressive again, which is not helpful because that is again, another destructive voice, isn't it? That linked to dieting mindset. But then you've got the rebel, which is another thing that my client was experiencing of, well, what does it matter anyway? Cause you're not going to go on holiday anytime soon. So just right. Sack it all off. So I think it's really important to kind of reframe those thoughts and replace some of the destructive thoughts with more ally thoughts. But that's part of the work that we do with clients. I know we work on reframing that. But sorry, you were talking, I think you were going down another route with that in terms.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think those are great points. And it's when we react to symptoms that we see and it's just like in medicine, when we just try and treat symptoms instead of the root of the problem, then we end up doing something that's not going to be effective long term. You know, so if you have an injury and you treat it by injecting it with steroids and taking pain medication, well, yes, the steroids might help with some of the inflammation and stuff. But if you just keep masking the pain and not changing it up or not addressing the underlying issue, then that you're not going to really affect change long term. You know, I had a shoulder injury a few years ago or a couple of years ago where it just every time I lifted, I had these pains inside my shoulder and I could have just sort of gone through it. I could have been just popping ibuprofen to get the inflammation down because it did help, but it didn't address the problem. So the doctor said, well, your problem is you have this inflammation in your joint and it's as a result of weak external rotators in your rotator cuff. Get those stronger and the pain will probably go away because the inflammation will go away. And then sure enough, so he gave me a steroid shot that treated that little symptom there. But ultimately I addressed the root of the issue, which was weak external rotators. When I got those stronger, it literally went from barely being able to lift my arm up like this with just the weight of my hand to now I can use, you know, 95 pound dumbbells again in my workouts. And so again, when you take the time to address the root of the issue, or you just stick to addressing the root of the issue. So if you're not seeing the change right away, just stay the course and don't panic. Don't get off track. Don't suddenly shift again, trying to chase the symptoms. Then you're going to find that you end up having long-term success. And that's exactly what happened with me. I did that and I didn't see change right away. It took several months before I got the problem fixed. But because I addressed the root, now the problem's gone. Same is true for our nutrition. If we keep trying to chase symptoms, okay, the scale didn't change this week or it hasn't changed in 3 weeks. I guess this mindful, thoughtful approach to eating and this more, when I used to count calories, it would just go right down. So I need to go back to doing that. So we immediately react. And instead of addressing the root issue,
if that was the case, then why are you where you are again now? You know, think about actually, did it really work? But
exactly. So I just think that's so important that we don't react. It's so tempting. I mean, we all do it. We all do it. We go, we have a big weekend. And what do? We react on Monday by kind of lightening up our food and nothing wrong with that. I mean, sometimes you feel better just not eating as much because you did eat way too much.
Well, that's natural, and that's your body telling you you're too much. So it's regulating itself.
Exactly. And so we just have to be really careful with this.
Without you having to apply the rules. Yeah, and I think what you're saying there is so, you know, so true in that people get so bogged down in the minutiae. Mm-hmm. People think all of a sudden they need to do, you know, they don't look at the bigger picture.
Right.
And it's the same like when people say, oh, you know, I'm gaining weight or, you know, I'm just can't stop eating cookies. I need to eliminate sugar. You know, sugar's my problem. Mm-hmm. No, you know, as with anything, you need to look at the context. You need to look at the context of what is going on. And rather than thinking you've got to change X, Y, Z, just think about the bigger picture and how you can be consistent within that. And, you know, and it's the same with our children. And I think I was speaking to you about this as well, about how Luca went through a and this is the other thing, is that we all go through stages with food. We all go through, you know, we don't, how many of us have gone through a stage where we love a certain food and we can't get enough of it, and then we get used to it and we get bored and we move on? And I think that's the thing, is that our relationship with food is ever evolving,
right?
And so there is no end point. But recently with Luca, he stopped. You know, my children have been really, really good. I mean, you've seen it. You know, they've always been really love their fruit and love their vegetables. And recently, every time I gave Luca dinner, he was just not eating his veg. He would eat everything else and he was just leaving all his vegetables. Now, in the past, in a past life, I would have been like, right, you're not moving until you eat those vegetables, or you're not having dessert until you have those vegetables. But actually, I just thought about the bigger picture. I just thought, right, okay, he's going through a stage, and if I put more pressure on him right now, it's just going to backfire. So, you know, I just continued to keep serving him the vegetables, never stopped him from having his desserts if he didn't eat his vegetables. I did make a few comments of about, you know, you're going to feel better if you eat those veggies, baby. You know, it wasn't like, oh, that, you know, maybe I should or maybe I shouldn't. I don't know. But I was like, oh, if you don't want them, because a couple of times, well, I'll eat them if I had. I'm like, no, if you don't want them, that's fine. You probably don't feel like them right now. But just to know, you know, that it's good to. Good to make sure that you are having just little subtle things that I would say is, without putting any pressure on him. And yeah, and he's fine now. You know, he's back to eating his vegetables. He doesn't feel and even then, you know, he didn't overeat on the sweet treats because I wasn't stopping him. I wasn't making him eat his vegetables first. Does that make sense? So I think, does that make sense?
Yeah. It does.
But I think it was just that whole thing of thinking about the bigger picture, thinking about the long-term effect of what your behaviours right now are going to have. And right. I knew if I put pressure on Luca right here and now, the long-term was that I was probably going to end up with him eating vegetables even less in the long run. Yeah. Whereas I just a bit more relaxed about it. I've had the same with my client. One of my clients, I think I told you about this. One of my clients, Tanya, who she's going to be doing an interview with me next week, which is great because she's, you know, she's completely changed her relationship with food since we worked together. I only worked together 6 months. But she said to me that because she's been more relaxed about food and not putting so much pressure on her children, she says her daughter's relationship with food has massively improved. So because she's took a step back, she's, you know, getting on her daughter's case, and her daughter's a lot older. I think her daughter's like a teenager, late teens. Uh-huh. But she would put a lot of pressure on her because she wasn't eating enough. She wasn't eating the right things. And all it did was drive her further, you know, along that route where she said, since I took a step back and been more relaxed, her relationship with food has just completely changed. Because she said to me, she said, you know, working with you was the best money I've ever spent.
That's great.
I think it's just that we are helping clients to just take a step back, aren't we? And look at the bigger picture. And it's not always about, okay, the scale hasn't moved. So what do I need to do now? How do I need to change my diet? What do I need to take out? How do I need to get more aggressive? What do I need to restrict? No, you know, consistency and tackle the how you're eating more than the what you're eating.
Yeah, well, because we're trying to get long-term change. I mean, for I know everybody listening to this podcast, probably 100% of people, and in general, probably 99% of people are not trying to get shredded for a photo shoot or a bodybuilding competition. That's when you have to manipulate things like that. And when things aren't working, then you tweak them and you adjust them and you know, you have a time schedule and this kind of thing. That's not particularly healthy anyway.
We know about the prevalence of
exactly. And so, yeah. But so many people, because this is what this is what Instagram fitness and a lot of the fitness community pushes, is this bodybuilding approach where, you know, you got to get shredded, you got to get your abs, you got to dial in your macros just a certain way. And if they aren't, if you're not seeing the progress, then you need to adjust it. And it's often disguised as, oh, don't panic, it's only been a week or two. But ultimately, it still comes down to, once it hits 3 or 4 weeks and no change, we got to adjust and we got to do all these different things to further restrict you to get you moving in the right direction. And but for most of us, for the bulk of society, really what it comes down to is those long-term habits and behaviors. And the only time we should be really making major changes is if something is obviously broken. So if we're obviously doing something wrong, or if there's some kind of major disruption that's occurred in our life that's impacted some area of our health or our nutrition or our habits, then we address those based on what's happening at the underlying source of that problem. So if it's sleep, well, then we need to work on sleep. So if our lack of sleep is making it, is causing us to have issues with sticking to our structured eating habits and patterns, or if it's affecting our food choices and we were very active physically and now we're not getting enough sleep, so we don't feel like being active. Well, the fix for it isn't just being more disciplined, going to the gym. I mean, that could be an aspect of it, but ultimately it's address the sleep issue so that you have the energy that you had before. All of these different things are just so important. And whenever we react and look at and make changes based on a particular circumstance, then we run the risk of not getting to the root of the issue and doing something that's going to just be a short-term, quick little fix that's not going to sustain.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's so important, isn't it? About, totally looking at, and I think I was talking to you about this before as well, is about how you've really got to be, if one thing that worries me a little bit is that, people, I've had this, and I have had this with some of my clients when they've only been working with for a short while, and they'll find that they plateau, or they find that they're not, the weight isn't moving as much, because it takes a while to get yourself out of that. Even when you think you're out of that dieting mindset, it can still crop up, and it's about having the tools and the skills and the self-awareness to weave your way through that. And I think what worries me is, like I said to you before, is that if people are focusing too much on that scale weight, that they will go to a macro coach, they will go to, this Insta fitness, and they will end up thinking that they've got to focus so much on manipulating their calories and controlling their calories. But you really do have to think about the bigger picture and think about how, I mean, I'm not saying we don't have to, because we do work with clients, don't we, Jeff, on changing things if they're not working.
Right.
But not from just, a snapshot of what is going on. It's okay, what's going on? Let's look at the bigger picture. Let's see how we can, like my client, she definitely had some of the grazing was coming back in and stuff like that. But it was like, okay, so what's going on in the bigger picture? We don't need to be taking away those snacks. We don't need to be taking away, you're not sleeping very well. Let's look at that. Let's sort that out. Okay. And it's like you say, it's not trying to just jump in there, reduce calories, reduce food volume, reduce food variety, reduce pleasure of food,
right,
to try and manipulate what's happening on the scales. Because, I think I've seen only recently as well how doing that and having that knee-jerk reaction and thinking, right, I've got to drop my calories so low, it can be a trigger for other things. Mm-hmm. If you're suddenly thinking, I've got to limit my food environment, I've got to limit my trigger foods, I've got to limit my calories, you know, there is evidence, there is research to show that this can trigger, eating disorders, particularly binge eating disorders, et cetera. Yeah. Because, your body, you're not listening to your body. You're trying to kind of manipulate things beyond your control.
Yeah, those are so important to point out. And one thing I will emphasize here is that you and I are both have a very strong evidence-based foundation with regard to energy balance, calories in and calories out. It does matter when it comes to regulating our body fat. What we're talking about here is not calories don't matter, macros don't matter. What we're talking about is that when we're focused in on those aspects to the detriment of all of the other things, then we run the risk of attacking that symptom, but not doing it in such a way that's going to last long term. And you could have easily, I'm sure that you could have manipulated Luca into eating his vegetables again. You probably could have put pressure on him, and he probably would have started eating again. And And maybe it wouldn't have caused an issue long term, because maybe it was just a, you know, like a little phase that he went through, but it could have very well backfired on you, where he goes ahead and eats him. And now you've messed with his mindset because of what he was going through at that time that caused him to not eat the vegetables for a period. And then down the road, it could have backfired to where in his 30s, there was that actually he could trace it back to that point where you started putting pressure on him to eat vegetables. And in his 30s, he realizes, that's why I don't eat vegetables anymore, because mom kept pushing me to eat them. And I rebelled because I don't want somebody telling me what to do. And then they ended up doing something that was negative, and he actually liked vegetables. And so you can see that, you see that happen all the time with so many other things. We just don't know the real downstream effects of some of the things that we do either to ourselves or that we do to clients. And you know the
thing that is going on with it. I mean, I've got 3 points I want to make there on what you've just said. The first one about tracing things back to childhood, that's exactly what I'm doing. I've got a few new clients that have started this week. And that is, again, you know, the light bulb moments that have been like, wow, I wonder, there was one this week and it was around, you know, her necessity to eat fast and stuff like this, or her tendency to eat fast. And, you know, when we were talking, she was like, and you know, I spoke about how we're informed by experiences and stuff like that. She was like, wow, you know, she goes, I'm in my 50s and I've just realized now, sat here, that the reason I'm doing this is because of what happened, you know, with my mum and her relationship and what she did, you know, without going into too much detail. So yes, don't underestimate how, you know, the way that we, and it can be the same with our clients. We could just, you know, try and manipulate or do something that just doesn't fit or align, and that could have an impact further down the line. I've seen this, I've seen this with other coaches. And I think, and so yeah, do not underestimate the impact that your childhood experiences has on your relationship with food now, and vice versa. If you're a parent, do not underestimate the messaging that will, you know, the messaging that it will have on your children later on in life. So I think that's really important. And I see that play out all of the time. The second thing I wanted to point out, where do I go with this first? Right, the second thing was, yes, absolutely, we have got a strong evidence-based background, and that is important. But I think the one thing that's, you know, really, really important, and this is something that is often lost in the industry. So when I'm talking about, you know, Insta Fitness and, you know, and even Weight Watchers, Slimming World, what's lost is putting the person at the center. Now, unless you put the person at the center and understand the person in front of you, you know, you're not necessarily going to be able, you might, you know, there are people who could, you know, who do really well on tracking their calories and doing X, Y, Z. You know, they are in the minority, I have to say. And you might, you know, in a group of 50 people that you ever work with, you might get one or two that do respond well to that. But in the long run, but more initially, but in the long run, you know, you need to be making sure that you are thinking about the whole person. And I think that's the difference, you know. And I think, you know, we're not saying that evidence-based doesn't matter. We're not saying that scientific research, scientific principles don't matter. They do, but it's about integrating that with self-awareness. It's about integrating that with the person knowing and understanding their drives and their triggers, because it's so much more than just, you know, food is so much more than macronutrients and nutrients. And like I've just said, it is so intertwined with our experiences, our emotions, etc. One last thing I wanted to say as well about our impact. You know, we don't always see the impact of how, you know, of what we're doing with our children. I think I just want to say is that when my children were really little, I was definitely like, I used to restrict the sweets, definitely. And not now, they have a structure with sweets now.
Right.
You know, they haven't, it's not free for. Occasionally it's free for all, Christmas, birthdays, every now and then they can eat as much as they want. But, you know, they do have a structure. But I remember at one point I used to, it was like, no, they're never allowed sweets. They're not allowed sweets. You know, it's bad for the teeth. It's bad for, do you know what they used to do? And luckily they don't now, but do you know what they used to take the sweets outside and hide, you know, or they'd take them in the bedroom or the bathroom and eat sweets behind my back. They would hide them, you know. So I was encouraging secret eating.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and I realized that because I'd found the wrappers. They were only little, you know. You're talking about little toddlers doing it. But as they got older, they could have got more, you know, better at that. And I never would have known.
Yep. Yeah. Those are just such good points to to bring up there, where you do, you see that that behavior is tied back to something often that's related to the restriction.
Yes. Yes. I've had it, you know, my client Laura, who, you know, I've spoken about quite a lot on my social media. She's done some amazing testimonial videos and for me. And, you know, she, that's what she said, you know, she has struggled with food since she was a child. She's even had a gastric band surgery. And it was only when she came to me that she was actually eventually able to lose weight and keep it off. And I didn't even work with her that long, you know, and I think once clients are in the right mindset, you know, once people are willing to invest in our services, they see progress quite quickly. But I think, you know, she, you know, it was a light bulb moment for her. She realized that her binge eating was a result of her mum restricting when she was younger. Mm-hmm. And I really don't want this to sound like we're being judgmental or anything like that, because I think as parents, I mean, I've been there, I did it.
Oh, yeah. Okay?
And there are still times now when I find myself thinking, stop doing that, Becky, because you know the impact it's going to have. But you think that by, you know, really micromanaging your children's diet, you're going to encourage them to be healthy eaters.
Yeah.
But, you know, and I think that's the way that we've been conditioned to think. But experience, research shows the opposite, doesn't it? And, you know, and I think as parents, we've just got to be more mindful about that and just curious about why we are behaving the way we are around our children. Is it because of food rules that, you know, is it because of the way that we were brought up and what, you know, what impact has that had? And we just have to be curious, don't we, about our approach. But I know parents out there are always doing their best and, you know, that it's all coming from the best place. But it's awareness, isn't it? I think at the end of the day.
Yeah, that is. That's a great point. And that's something that, I'll just emphasize here as a parent, my girls are adults, 23 and 25. And a lot of what I talk about and share with people when I'm talking with other parents, giving them advice for dealing with child nutrition is not because I had it figured out and I am sharing with you this wonderful wisdom of exactly how you should do it because I was so good at it. So much of what I share is based on the fact that I did it wrong. There were so many things that I did not do the right way. When they were younger, there were things I did right. There were also things when they were older as teenagers that I didn't. And I, you know, I've had these conversations with my kids over the years and found out just how much of an impact some of these approaches that I used had on them long-term. Because at the time, 10, 15 years ago, I wasn't aware of these feeding habits. I addressed, a lot of times I addressed food just like any other discipline issue. And to be honest, I addressed a lot of discipline issues in the wrong way also. And so anyway, I just wanted to kind of highlight we often will share what you should be doing, but it's really from a place of having gone through it and found out what didn't work in my case, in a lot of ways. And also based on, you know, we talked about the evidence-based foundation. It doesn't, this evidence-based foundation is not just in the science of nutrition. It's also in this really behavior.
Yeah.
And, you know, this week was just another example of that. I've been going through some training in child nutrition and also in this kind of a behavioral approach to eating and really becoming much more competent in eating and all of these factors. I won't go into the details of it here, but what's been really interesting in going through these continuing education studies is that it's all based on mounds of evidence and research in the lab validating the approaches and the models that we talk about here with the child feeding. All of this stuff has been validated. It's evidence-based to take an approach where you don't restrict your children, where they stick to a structured meal and snack time, where the division of responsibility that we've talked about, where the parent is responsible for what, where, and when, and the child is responsible for whether and how much of what's offered. And so these are evidence-based approaches. They don't sound as sciencey, but they are. It's just as evidence-based that these approaches work. And so I think it's important to highlight that, that we're not just saying, well, calories in, calories out, that's science. This is just sort of opinion stuff. And that's not the case. It's just as grounded in science as as protein metabolism and all of those kinds of things.
It really is. And there are plenty of research studies. There are plenty, you know, to show that, you know, children, not adults alike, that restriction backfires, that mm-hmm. it doesn't, you know, we've seen it, haven't we, before? I mean, even in our evidence-based training, you know, we were taught that restrictive, you know, rigid diet approaches have, you know, they lead to binge eating disorders, they lead to higher BMIs, they lead to, you know, higher risk of depression and anxiety, you know? So, yeah, you know, human research beyond, yeah, behavioral research, as well as, you know, nutritional research. I think it's all, you know, we base all of our approach, all of the work that we do with clients on that, of course, don't we?
Yeah.
I think that's really important to point out as well. And also, you know, things like self-compassion. So, mm-hmm. you know, people think, oh, you know, all this about self-compassion and kindness and looking after yourself, you know, well, that's all well and good. She's just telling me to do that because it's nice to do. No, you know, the research evidence is there to show that people that show themselves more self-compassion, people that, you know, value themselves and give themselves lots of self-care, actually do better. They have lower BMIs. They tend to follow healthier eating lifestyles, mm-hmm. You know, healthier lifestyles in general, have healthier eating habits, etc. The research and evidence is there. It's not that we're just making this up and thinking, oh, a person needs to be happy, you know, happy-go-lucky. Yeah, you do, but mm-hmm. there are things that you need to consider in order to achieve that.
Yeah, and that's what's really interesting with this research. When you start to look at it, you find out that taking these more holistic, whole person approaches rather than a restrictive diet approach, what they're finding is that people have better cardiometabolic health. They have better BMIs. They have better enjoyment of life. They're better social relationships, better dental hygiene. I mean, things that you would think that have no direct bearing, but because somebody has this solid relationship with food, and we'll talk more about that, I'm sure, in future episodes and more of the specifics of it, but just this general solid relationship with food and eating, that it carries over into all those things that all of us want, that we think that a diet is going to get us, but in fact, addressing the root issues, not, you know, avoiding these knee-jerk reactions, avoiding taking these super aggressive approaches because we're not seeing a change on the scale or a change in an area of our life that we wanted to see right away. What we see is that we end up getting that ultimate outcome, but in a much more enjoyable and sustainable way.
And I think one of the most important factors in that is the fact that when you are taking away all of that pressure of diets and manipulation and control, you're not so stressed.
Mm-hmm.
And let's not underestimate the impact. And there's more and more research out there. You know, it's not airy fairy. We're seeing more and more the impact that stress and anxiety has on us physically, as well as emotionally and mentally. Yeah. Okay. And I think, you know, that's such an, and maybe that's a point that we should end on as well. I think, you mm-hmm. know, that it's the stress and the pressure and the lack of trust in yourself that diets force upon you that end up leading you to be less healthy emotionally and physically.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a great way to wrap it up. Well, this has been a great talk as usual. And so we look forward to talking together again soon. Also, keep an eye out for that webinar that Rebecca mentioned that she'll be having. So if you're listening to this at the close to the time that it came out, make sure you check out the links in the show notes. Yeah. Well, we'll have a link to that in the show notes for this episode. And so make sure to check that out. Also, just check it out because in general, even if it's after the fact, because both of us offer various opportunities like this periodically. So make sure you want to check out and see what we happen to have going on. So, well, thank you again for listening, and we will see you all next time.